Today is June 26th, 2013. Today is a historic day for gays and lesbians across the country. The Supreme Court overturned DOMA and sent the Prop 8 ruling back to the states. I was getting in the shower, shaving, when I heard the TV say the Supreme Court is handing down the ruling. And so I was like, I got out of the bathroom with shaving cream on my face and watched the whole ruling while I had shaving cream on my face. But it was quite emotional and, exciting and a very happy time. But it still leaves some questions in everyone's minds, I think, about what the ruling actually means. For one thing, the ruling of overturning the one section of DOMA that denied federal benefits to same-sex couples who are married in states that recognize same-sex marriage, they will now, all people who are married in states legally that have same-sex marriage will be entitled to federal benefits. And from what I understand, all of the federal benefits. I think the question comes into play where, what about the states that do not recognize or legally have same-sex marriage? From what I understand, those people who went to a state that have that recognize same-sex marriage or that have same-sex marriage, if they got married in those states but they live in another state, then they are eligible for certain federal benefits, but not all of them. It really depends on the state, and I have a feeling too that in my state, Virginia, it means that nothing will be recognized. So if I were to, go over into D.C. or go into Maryland and get married, then in the state of Virginia, I would actually have no benefits, no federal benefits. I believe that's the case. I would hope someone will correct me if I'm wrong. But what I think this does is it opens up the court system to lawsuits against the individual states that don't recognize same-sex marriage, and it would have to be done on an individual basis, because the ruling from the Supreme Court did not open up marriage equality to every state. It still left the decision for what constitutes a marriage in that state to the states. Therefore, the federal benefits don't necessarily apply unless your state recognizes and legalizes same-sex marriage. That's the way I'm interpreting it from all the things I've been seeing on the news and all the articles I've been reading today. I'm trying to find out what it means, because I have a couple friend in Pennsylvania who want to go to Maryland and get married, but they live in Pennsylvania. And the one girl, she was saying that she would hope that Pennsylvania, her state, would recognize her legal marriage from another state. But I looked up the exact reading and at least interpretation by HRC, and they said that it really depends on the state. It's kind of a murky waters right now. The problem is that states recognize marriages of other states for heterosexual couples. Like, for example, if you're a heterosexual couple and you get married in, let's say, I don't know, Missouri, and then you end up moving to Alabama, then your marriage is still recognized. So the process of I don't know, litigation, what's the word? I can't think of the word. Lawsuits, I guess, against the states are going to have to take up that problem where your marriage is not recognized, even though it's legal in that other state. I think that's going to be the wave of lawsuits that you see coming from different people. So anyway, the whole overturn of DOMA is a really good thing for our country and for all of our friends in the LGBT community, because now it means that your marriages that you had in states where it's recognized are federally legal and you are entitled to federal benefits, and there's like 1,000 of them. What does it mean for the rest of the states? I don't know. I think that, as I said, I think that's going to be a legal thing that will take place soon. Now, the other ruling was the Prop 8 decision by the Supreme Court. And that one, they didn't actually rule. They sent it back to the courts and said they're not going to rule on that. So it goes back to the lower court of, I forget the, whatever it is, Court of Appeals or whatever. I don't really know what it is. But it basically means that the lower court standing or the lower court ruling stands. And the last ruling was is that it was constitutional for Californians to get married, for same-sex couples to get married. So it sounds like, according to, again, articles and things that I've been reading and listening to all day today, Governor Gray Davis said that he, you know, instantly said marriages can start taking place. But I believe the process is going to take like 45 days before they can start issuing marriage licenses again. But all those people who got married back in 2008, all their marriages are legal, and they're still legal, and they will get all of their federal benefits and so forth. This all stems from a case by, I can't think of the lady's name. She's like 84. What was her name? I'm sure you all are shouting at the iPod right now. Edie Windsor, who's 84. She sued the federal government after the IRS denied her refund request for the $363,000 in federal estate taxes she paid after her spouse, Thea, died in 2009. And that was what the whole case was based on, was her having to pay the $363,000 because they were not legally married. I'm not sure which state they got married in. I don't know which state that was. In any case, she did not have to pay the $363,000. And if anything, I think, she did pay it, but I think in the court ruling, she gets her refund with interest. So good for her. That was for the DOMA case. Now, the whole DOMA ruling, as I mentioned, I think I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, was that the Supreme Court did not rule on other parts of DOMA, only one specific part. And what that means is that the Congress is going to have to go back and either rewrite DOMA or get rid of it completely. And I think that might happen if we, maybe 2014, when we get rid of some of these Republicans in the House of Representatives. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't really know what's going to happen, but following it and watching it and listening to all the legal scholars out there who know what it all means, I found that really interesting today. I was watching as much as I could, but then I had to go to the dentist, and I couldn't watch it and pay attention to it. But it's a very happy day, very historic day, and that's why I'm recording a podcast, because I need to mark this day in history and make sure I record my reaction to it. Of course, I'm extremely happy, and I think that the states in the future are all going to be dropping like flies and having to have marriage equality. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm hoping. So we'll see. Because ultimately, I really don't want to leave the state of Virginia. I love the state of Virginia, but they've got to get into the 21st century and get with the times. But now, here's a problem with that. I saw on Huffington Post today that my attorney general, who is currently running for governor in Virginia, is taking his lawsuit that he had, if I can find this article. Of course, it's not on here. It was earlier, but I don't see it today. I don't see it right now. I mean, where is it? Oh, it's not there. In the state of Virginia, our Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, who is running for governor, has a lawsuit against the federal government, I believe, for the Lawrence versus Texas case that overturned the sodomy laws. Now, where is it? I wish I could kick myself for not getting this up to get in the first place. But the courts ruled that, because in Virginia, this guy was convicted of the sodomy laws in Virginia because he had sex with an underage, not underage, she was 17 or something like that. And his lawyer was able to get his conviction thrown out because of the Supreme Court case, Lawrence versus Texas. Well, Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli is, what's the word I just had it in my head? I'm losing my head today. He is asking the courts to overturn that outcome because he thinks that the law of Lawrence versus Texas is wrong, and he thinks that their ruling should stand in Virginia, but it's not going to. So, I mean, that's just like the craziness of Virginia. Our Attorney General also signed on to with the amicus brief that was against DOMA, the overturning of DOMA, earlier this year. I mean, Virginia is going to be one of the last states to change, I'm sure, but I think it will eventually change. Anyway, enough about that. So I took my car in for service yesterday. For the first time, I haven't seen it since I own the car. A little notification kept coming up that it's time to change the oil. And it had been just about 5,000 miles. So being off from work for the summer, excuse me, I just burped. I hope it wasn't too loud. Being off from work, I have time to take care of all these things. So I made an appointment to take my car in. And I went ahead and had them look at the battery. Because if you remember, 3 weeks ago or so, I had my car was parked for like 2 days. And then when I came out to start it, the battery was dead. So anyway, I took my car in for service. They did the 15,000 mile checkup, change the oil, you know, rotate the tires, all that kind of stuff. And they went ahead and checked the battery. And they did this test, I guess, that does a battery drain and to see how much they can take off the battery at one time. And that passed. And then they did a test to see when the car is turned off, is there any of the components pulling power from the battery? And beyond the normal, like the blinking of the light for the security system and the saving of the memory on the sync system, nothing was unusual. So they say they couldn't find anything wrong. We'll see if the battery holds out. Because I'm going to New Orleans in roughly less than 2 weeks, and my car is going to be sitting for at least 6 days. And I'm worried that when I come home from the airport, my car will not start because I'm parking at my partner's house. And I have a feeling that when I go to get in the car, it will not start. And I'm going to be really, really mad if that's the case. But as I've been doing, I've been making sure everything is turned off in the car. There are no wires plugged into the USB ports. There's no battery charger plugged into the auxiliary port, any of those things, so that everything is actually turned off. And the car has been doing just fine since I started doing that. Because there were times where I would leave the air conditioning turned on and the radio turned on. Because most people probably think this, when you turn off the car, everything should turn off, right? But that's not always the case. So I've been doing a really good job of turning everything off, and it has been, it's been fine. Like, the car has not hesitated. It started right up every time. And the longest it's gone is like 27 hours, I think, parked without me starting it. So anyway, we'll see. And let's see. They also updated the sync system and the navigation maps because it was an update. And the sync system now has a couple new features, and it's supposed to recognize your voice easier, and it shows the outside temperature in the car now. I mean, outside the car now, but it shows it on that little screen. I say little, but it's an 8-inch screen. But the only thing I didn't like was every time they update the sync system, I lose all of my favorites and all of my information because it's like starting from scratch again. I'm sure there's a way that they could save it, but they don't. So all of the things that I saved on my navigation system in terms of places that I can access multiple times by just holding the thing and saying destination such and such, and all those favorites are gone, so I have to start putting those in again. But it's better to have a car that is all, you know, checked out and fresh with a new the thing just fell out of my ear. Oops, hold on a second. Okay, there we go. What was I saying about the car? Yeah, that's all, you know, up to date and everything with the latest system software and latest maps for the navigation system and all that stuff. So I'm very pleased with that. The other thing is as I mentioned earlier, I did go to the dentist today, and I did not have any cavities. She said I actually have been doing a good job with my flossing because she barely had anything to scrape off my teeth, which I was very pleased with because I absolutely hate that scraping process. And how you can feel it when the little pick thing hits some tartar or whatever, it's like a little scrape. Well, there was barely any of that this time, so I've been doing a really good job with my flossing, and I was very pleased to hear that. And she said, you have no cavities, I don't see any issues, you're doing fine. So then she says, have you ever been tested for sleep apnea? Or do you snore and all this? And I said, yes, I do snore. I know I snore. And she says, well, we have a process that we can put you through. It's that you wear this little monitor at night, and then we download the information to the computer, and we send it off to the sleep group thing, and they will let us know if you have sleep apnea. And My first thought is, okay, how much is this going to cost? And she goes, oh, well, your insurance will cover it. And I'm like, I don't think my insurance will cover this. And I said, well, I'm not going to, I don't need to do that. If it's going to cost me, I'll go through my medical insurance. And she said, oh, no problem. I'll waive that fee. And I'm like, oh, good. Well, then I don't have to pay for that. So I brought this device home tonight and I'm going to strap it on myself and sleep in my own bed. And, although there's all these wires all over the place, so I still think it's going to be uncomfortable. But then I have to take it back to the dentist tomorrow and they download the information. And then in a day or two, she will call me with the results. And ultimately, what this is it's a money-making venture for the dentist. So I can tell you right now, she's going to say that I have severe sleep apnea and I'm going to need some kind of appliance in my mouth that will adjust the way that my jaw is so that I can breathe properly. I know that's what it is because this is because they weren't making any money off me because my teeth are in good shape and I didn't have any cavities or anything like that. So she has to make money somehow. So I don't know why I feel like this, but why are people like dentists and different businesses trying to get, trying to get you to pay for more service? Like, I was really pleased with the car. Like, they didn't say, oh, you need to change the, cabin air filter or you need to change this or that. They just did the work and it only cost me $62 to have the oil change and these other things done. $62. I mean, that's pretty good. And then the dentist, I'm sure, because I didn't pay anything today. It was a part of my regular dental insurance covers all the cleaning and stuff. So I didn't pay, I didn't give them a penny today. And I'm thinking to myself, so this is really her way. She's got to get some money out of me. Is it, am I too, what's the word, negative to think that this dentist is really only trying to get money made, or is she really concerned about my sleep apnea if I actually have it? That's my question. And I walked out of it thinking, oh, this is just a way to make money. Because after I had the appointment with the doctor, with the dentist, then I had to sit and talk with this lady about this machine I brought home to test me for sleep apnea. And she told me that the fee that they normally charge people is $195 to have this sleep apnea test done in your home. And I'm like, are you kidding? Why would I pay that? I know I snore. If I lay on my back, I snore and I wake up and all that. But if I sleep on my side, I'm just fine. So, I mean, it's not something I don't already know. And if I were to be like exhausted in the morning, like I'm not getting any sleep, then I would go to my doctor and have a check. So I'm not, I'll go through this test and give her the information. But as soon as she says, oh, it's like $500 for this appliance for you to sleep at night, I'm going to say, oh, no, thank you. I'll go through my medical insurance and have that taken care of that way. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Because I know that that's what's going to happen. Anyway, I'm too cynical, too negative. I don't know. Anyway, oh my gosh, this has been going for, looks like almost 18 minutes, so I better stop. Anyway, happy day for DOMA and California, and we'll see what the future holds. I'm sure everyone, well, of course, Twitter went crazy with the hashtag DOMA today. It was a worldwide trending, and great day. So if you have any reactions or if you know more information about the states and the individual states that do not recognize same-sex marriage and what that means for people who are married in other states that do recognize same-sex marriage, leave a comment because I'm really curious. I haven't found anything definitive about that. It's just the stuff that I've read so far. Anyway, that is all for today. Until next time, bye.